Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Thanks for hanging out. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency for all your equipment financing needs. Go Currency. I just did a double take. That stash is coming in. I mean, it's always like going to be there, but it looks thick. Have we been watering the thing? I mean, I'm proud of you. It looks good.
Thank you. It's just been, you know, a lot of hard work.
You on
work,
some prednisone?
No. No, there's no performance enhancing drugs here whatsoever.
That's okay.
It's strictly just my own personal hair growth. I've been trying to trim it and keep it looking nice, and we're getting to the length where I think I can maybe start curling on the end again.
Don't do that. My God, Bill Dolman with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the professor, is joining us at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, you never had a mustache phase, did you?
No, I went through a beard phase a couple of years ago, but I'm very, very impressed, Chris, with your observational skills, given the fact that you see the dude every day. You're looking across the table through the window at him every day, and now you're just noticing that the stash is coming in. So very keen observation.
It's thicker than it's been is the point.
I just want to respond.
It just didn't happen during the break. I know it's 5 minutes, but come on.
Well, I just kind of he's bouncing around back there to the intro. And I'm like, dude, he's going Freddie Mercury back there. I mean, with the thick stash. I'm proud of it. No, we don't need to.
I would like to let you know though. You asked Bill if he had a mustache phase. This is not a phase.
No, I know.
This is who I am.
You're gearing up for umpiring season, and much like State Patrol, there's more fear with State Patrol folks that pull you over when you have a mustache. If they have a mustache, just like the guy behind the plate, if he's got a mustache, you don't want to jack with
exactly,
him.
Exactly.
It's an authoritative take. Bill,
especially if he's packing heat,
for sure. And I pray that Elijah's not doing that when he goes to the ballpark
in the waistband.
Oh, you're going to argue with my balls and strikes, are you?
Say hello to my little friend.
There we have it, Bill. Wanted to get your reaction, not just with the signing class, because I know you're always into recruiting, but more so just the action by rule to really incorporate Coach Osborne. And not every coach has done that. Even some guys that, I don't know, played for him didn't do that. It's one thing to have him at practice. It's another thing to go out of his way like he did at the Outland Award dinner in Omaha to sit with him and break bread. And I think it's very important to Coach Rule, not just for looks, but I think he's pretty sincere about it.
Yeah, I think it's just another one of the great steps that he has made. And I think by now, for what we've seen and read about Matt Rule, there's no reason to believe that he's not being genuine in his reverence for Coach Osborne. And I think that's really important for people around Nebraska to see that. You know, I think that we had hoped that we were going to see that when the four-year case of the flu took over and brought in Bill Callahan. And, you know, I asked that question to Bill Callahan at a press conference, you know, how much will, you know, Coach Osborne be involved? And he said, oh, yeah, we'll talk to him. Well, when? You know, when we get around to it, when we get to the O's in the phone book, I guess, you know, so but I genuinely think that there is a reverence for Matt Rule. He understands the history of Nebraska football very well. He understands, you know, and to a certain extent, you know, here's a guy who grew up around and played for Joe Paterno. And at that time, Tom Osborne and Joe Paterno were, you know, icons in college football. They were the, you know, today it's Sweeney and Saban. And there's probably a couple out there, you know, that are major legends in the game. I'm not going to put Lincoln Riley in that class just yet. But if you go back into the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, you know, forgetting it, putting aside the demise of Joe Paterno, But he was, Tom was, Bobby Bowden, Bear Bryant, you know, for 20 years, they were the icons of the game. And I think Matt Rhule respects that. And maybe because he was so closely tied to Paterno that he understood Tom's place in that. And now to be side by side with Tom Osborne and holding the same position that he held, you know, it's just another great card that Matt Rhule has played.
You go from having dinner with him to now he's going to be the feature with the coaches clinic. I mean, there's been 100 coaches since T.O. retired, and this is the first time he's going to be speaking at a clinic.
Yeah, and what I think is, you know, really significant about that, I think the turnout would be great, but I think it's going to be even greater. You know, look, you know, Coach Osborne's in his mid-80s now, and it has just meant so much to so many people for so long that I think you're going to have a tremendous turnout that is keenly attuned to what he has to say, because how many more times will they have that opportunity to do so? I kind of liken it a little bit when I heard Rhule talking about that, you know, to, you know, those legendary rockers who go around for one final concert and you just got to be there because it might be the last time that they're on stage. Mm-hmm. And I think for a football coach, whether they have been in the business for decades or just a couple of years, I think that, you know, people will benefit and can say, you know what, I heard Tom Osborne, and I think it's meaningful.
Bill, really quick, if there was actually a legendary rock band going around in their final tour, like, what's the one that you have to make a stop on the tour? What band is it? What rocker?
I mean, like right now?
Like, yeah, like.
It can't be Kiss because they're on their 10th final tour. Motley Crue's on their 3rd final tour. You know. I would love to have seen a final tour of Queen with Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
I mean, that would have been a great final one, but nobody does their final concert anymore.
No.
Come on.
Van
Morrison. Van Morrison, without a doubt.
There it is.
That'll never top. But you saw him in Dublin, though. Like, that won't be topped,
yeah.
Will it? I mean, seeing him in Dublin's.
Unless I see him over there again, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. Who I'd pick.
You know, if Skid Row could get Sebastian Bach back in the fold, I mean, anybody from the 80s is going to go to that one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of impossible.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah. It's kind of impossible with the whole Cobain thing, but Nirvana. Nirvana would be a great one if, like, they got the crew back together.
I guess I would love to see Pearl Jam again. I saw them. It's almost been 9 years. That's crazy. 9 years since they've been here.
Yeah, PBA.
Bill, let's talk basketball here. And Fred Hoiberg in Nebraska. And Nebraska had an 0-for-2 week. They get Penn State on Sunday. And the discussion point, and I know you guys touched on this, Elijah, with the No Block, No Rock pod, but you've got reality. That's wins and losses. The numbers that are the numbers for Fred. But then you have, all right, what it looks like now. And, yeah, they've been throwing the ball away. But they've been competitive. And it sounds like they're going to keep fighting despite being depleted. From a momentum standpoint, big picture, I know basketball's individual as a sport. But if you're Trev, do you stop the good feels? And do you just put up with a tough season under bad circumstances due to injury, or do you just say, look, I can't see this anymore working out, we got to make a move? Let's talk about here the momentum that's going on in the program despite the losses.
I don't think you can make a move. You went through last year, you made an arrangement, Fred reinvented his team, changed his philosophy, dusted off the Mo Iba playbook, you know, dropped down below 75 points per game and played tough defense. And, you know, Nebraska was a team after they, you know, kicked Creighton in the nether regions and gut punched Iowa. Everybody's feeling good about that team, right? And they're doing what they were asked to do. And I go back to what we talked about, you know, last week when they beat Creighton, Trev had that moment where he brought two players into his office and gave them black shirts. And there were probably more that deserved it, but he gave them to Juwan Gary and Emmanuel Vandermelt. and who are the two of the best defensive players, not just at Nebraska in the Big Ten, but in the country. I think it was Bandamel like in the top 30 and like every defensive stat that they keep these days. You know, he's one of the best defensive players in the country, and he's out. And then Gary's out. And now you're playing a bunch of freshmen again. And you're asking, you know, Sam Griesel and Derek Walker to carry that team, and everybody knows it. So, the losing those two guys was incredibly detrimental. And a month ago, we're talking about if Nebraska goes 7-5 down the stretch, they probably play themselves into an NIT bid if they can go above 500 in conference play. And then those injuries happen, one and then another. And I think one, that's, you know, Fred did what he was asked to do, and he had done a very good job until the injuries took effect. Secondly, on the other side of it, Nebraska is coming off of an arduous, exhausting football coaching search. And you've hired a guy that everybody, not just a guy, but his entire staff, that everybody just seems to have embraced. And they seem to have embraced everybody. So why go through another search? Why go through the process? Create a little controversy. Right now, things are going in the right direction for the Nebraska athletic department as a whole. And I think let's just be happy that search went really well, so it seems. And let's keep that vibe going for the whole culture and not do it again, even though there won't be near the intensity if there was a basketball hire. But let's just stick with it and let those young players develop. Ramil Lloyd comes in as a point guard next year, and maybe those guys come back healthy and ready to go, and you do it all again, and maybe the shots will fall the right way.
Well, Bill, do you think that Husker Nation will get behind Fred for another year? I mean, part of this, you have to evaluate, is are these season ticket holders going to, you know, go get season tickets again next year? Is Nebraska going to be able to sell seats to Pinnacle Bank Arena? It's a huge arena. And if the results aren't there, the fans going to want to show up. I think that's a question that has to be taken into account here. So do you think the fans will get behind Hoiberg for another year, or do you think they're tired of it?
Well, especially, I think they will, especially if you put some Guinness taps in that building now. I think
booze is the answer.
You might get a few more people in the seats, you know. Now, look, I think people were behind that team the way they were playing. You know, it wasn't a 75 to 85 point per night team, right? People loved the way they were playing, and that was a 60 to 65 point per night team. Now they put 85 on the board against Iowa, and they loved that. People loved what they did against Creighton, and people were coming in, and they were excited to watch them play. I think people understand, they're smart enough to understand that, you know, those injuries were significant. And if football goes well next fall, they'll carry that feel-good vibe into basketball season, and then the pressure will probably really be on. But, you know, Fred, he did what he was asked to do. He put a team that was competitive, a team that fought hard, a team that people liked to watch to play until the injuries came in. And things changed really, really dramatically. I think people will get behind him again. Fred's not embarrassing anybody. Not that he's embarrassing himself as a coach. He's not doing anything dumb on the outside where you're going, oh, now what's in the paper, you know? He's an honorable man. And I think he's done an honorable job and did what was asked of him and just had some really bad breaks or tears and sprains, as the case might be.
Bill, got about 2 minutes. You spent a lot of time in the NBA, covering the NBA, and going to go here. What's your take on Kyrie Irving asking the Nets to send him away? Lakers, Mavs, Suns, great talent, big-time headache.
Well, wherever he goes, he's going to be a big-time headache. But, you know, the teams that need to win, the Lakers need to win. They're on the outside of looking on the playoff picture. But he's not just he's a different kind of headache, isn't he? He's not necessarily a malcontent, you know, bad dude. He's just got some alternative thoughts that, you know, that might have people scratching their head in the locker room. They're not going to avoid him because he's a jerk. They're going to avoid him because I just can't get into the conversation as to where you want to go. All right. But he's a great basketball player, and he still is a great basketball player. And if somebody's going to make a playoff run and they let him go, look, it's pro basketball, and it's just a couple of months. You know, we're talking March, April, May, June. maybe it's a gamble worth taking. You know, if he gets him to do what he wants, yeah.
I just wonder how KD responds, right? Because you got him and Kyrie, and to be honest, to be Kyrie's teammate can be good and terrible. Like on the nights that it's clicking, you got elite help and a guy that's going to be able to get his own points, but also distribute. But now, if you're KD, you're trying to come back from injury. Do you say, all right, send me Russ. Let's try and recreate 2012 again. I mean, if you're the Lakers, you're trying to ship Russ out for a long time.
The whole super team thing didn't work when KD wanted to build his own. You know, it's worked out pretty well when LeBron wants to build his own. When KD joined Golden State, you know, that worked out well. But when he said, I want to get my own guys together, excuse me, didn't work out so well. You know, look, and one thing about the NBA, too, if they bring him on board, it's not as though all those guys are hanging.
No,
right?
No, they got to do
their own
thing.
They show up at the arena in their limo, they leave in their limo or their Range Rover. It's not as, you know, what's the old line about the Yankees when Alex Rodriguez played, that it was, you know, one plane and 25 limos. So it's not like college basketball where you are all together all the time, right? I mean, you bring him in, you're only playing with him a few hours a day.
Billy D, we'll see you this weekend. Thanks for the time, bud.
Okay, go Big Red. See you guys.